Richard Allgaier, former television news reporter, producer.
I love my intro music.
I'm glad.
I should talk in a Bond villain voice after that. Jeff Hunts, I am Dick Allgaier. You will have nothing, and you will be happy.
Oh, I'm already overjoyed just at the thought of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lots of fun.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your great introduction of me over in Hawaii, where it's beautiful.
Yes, former news reporter, anchorman, producer, director. Right, he was a star. He was a star.
We used to tout that on our resume with some pride, like, "Hey, I was a mainstream news reporter." Nowadays,
you betcha,
people, you don't want to say that. Like, "Oh,
well, that's not if you're in mature and informed custom." I don't know. I wouldn't mention it. No, not anymore. They're so awful. They're cardboard cutouts. They're just awful readers. Awful. And they all read in the same way, the same cadence, the same.
Yeah.
You don't have to even teach them. It's monkey see, monkey do. They know how to be a success.
The reporters don't know how to write an English sentence properly. They don't use the grammar. They don't know how to spell. The amount of just copy editor errors that I see in newspapers and in TV Chiron graphics and reports.
Chiron? Is that word still even
Chiron,
in
that's
business
how old,
anymore?
Yeah. It's a Chiron. Think, did you know, Jeff, we can actually write words on the screen, on the TV? Yeah. Get them in. Be sure to get them in 30 minutes prior to news time and they can get them typed in. We'll Chiron that.
See, Chiron is early digital technology for television newscasts. It's like a Model A. It's gone. Long gone.
Jeff, when I started in the business, now this is how old we are. We had a graphics guy, and the graphics guy would get pictures from not even a fax. It was some machine that would like burn an image onto paper, and then he had strips of alphabets, and he would press that on a colored card, and then press like the letter J, the letter E, the letter F, and actually would make a physical thing, and then they would put that in the studio, and one camera would shoot it, and then they'd combine that. It was an actual physical card that they would make up. Not just, you know, you couldn't just on your computer. You had to physically make it. Wow, we're old. I used to cut film. Okay, enough of the old days. Do you have your tofurkey ready?
No, I have to go try and purchase it tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the day to do it because you don't want to do it Wednesday because Wednesday's I'm going to go. I might make some seitan. I'm going to get some mashed potatoes. So you take potatoes, and I do it with the skins on. I cut them up a little bit, boil them till they get soft, mash them, put some almond milk on it.
No, that's nice. It's nice texture. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you make some, you put a little flour in olive oil or butter if you want, and make a roux. You brown it, and then you brown some onions and mushrooms, and then you combine that with the veggie. I make veggie chicken broth out of brewer's yeast and celery seeds and stuff. So you thicken it with the flour, and you make gravy. Put that over the potatoes with a little tofurkey. Then you roast some Brussels sprouts, and then you get some. Coconut ice cream for dessert.
That's it.
And you're good to go.
That's pretty good. They have several types now. They're pretty good.
My brother-in-law
is regular vanilla, but they're good.
It's for the coconuts.
Go ahead. I'll tell you something else in a minute. This is important. Go ahead.
My brother-in-law will open up a bottle of good French wine. Oh, man. My brother and I have some good wines. He has a good wine cellar, so we always drink that. Okay, what's so important?
Vanilla. Vanilla flavoring. I know some of you won't care. Some of you will. Vanilla doesn't always come from the vanilla bean. A lot of the vanilla flavoring, you know where this is going?
Oh, would they make it out of crickets or some chemical
it's worse than
thing?
That. No, it comes from a gland at the rear end of a beaver. And they use
that. Where did you hear that?
It's true. I've called companies and said, where do you get your vanilla? Is it from beavers or from beans?
Oh, God. Jeff, I just 15 minutes ago drank vanilla extract in a...
Well, what was it extracted from?
It was extracted from the ass end of a beaver, I think.
Unless it says vanilla bean on it. Some kind of a gland. I don't know. I don't know.
Their excretion tastes like vanilla?
Yes.
So the beavers are eating. They're eating like maple trees or something, or some.
I don't think it has to do with what they're eating. Hold on here. Okay. Let me read this. Why you should? No, hold on. Let's see if this is a good one here. Vanilla extract. That's the term I think you want to kind of be careful of. Let's see. Better say something. I have to skim this.
Okay. I would say to you that may the worst thing that happens to you in 2024 be that you consume some fake vanilla that's really come out of the
I'm sure it's, look, I don't know how common it's used now. Vanilla beans are certainly plentiful. I did call one company and I said, why don't you say vanilla on your ingredients? Why don't you say vanilla bean? Or is it from the beaver? She says, no, it's not from the beaver. It's ours. It's all from vanilla bean. It was a protein powder, an organic protein powder, vanilla flavor.
So, I've got a friend who's a prepper. And he's got a house up on the hill, not far away from me. And he has a tilapia. He was growing catfish. He's gone to just tilapia. So he's got a big, it's a pretty good, you know, maybe 15 feet by 10 feet tilapia pool. And so he feeds the tilapia. And then he's got a solar generating system that the pumps are run by solar power, and he pumps the wastewater from the tilapia up the hill, and then he lets the water come down the hill through lava rock, and he grows more stuff than he can. And one of the things he grows vanilla beans. So he sells the vanilla beans to stores here in Hawaii. I should go get some. I don't know how to process a raw vanilla bean into vanilla. I have no idea what to do with it.
But no, there's a way to do it.
But he grows beautiful vanilla. He was showing me big bundles of it. Like, it's amazing what you can do if you set your.
Well, it'll all be synthesized soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been, I needed more things to have to fill up my time. Lon Vo, the psychic.
Did you go to see Lon?
I didn't, but the last time I saw her, and that was like months.
A year
ago. Yeah, not quite a year ago. She said, you have to write a book. You're going to write a book. Where's your book? Write your book. So I thought about writing a book. I've got a couple books in me. One would be the story of the Hawaii Remote Viewers Guild, of all the, you know, my journey through remote viewing and how that works. But I thought I'm going to write a fiction book. So I started thinking about that, and I came up with a good story, and I spent about 2 months outlining it, like this happens, then this happens, then this character. And I'm writing down, I'm thinking of characters, and I'm naming them, so I've got the characters and all their names and their background and what they do. So I started writing it, and it's kind of fun, but then what happens is, and I've got some great stories that are real life. I mean, I can tell remote viewing war stories till the cows come home. Oh, but easy. When I start, yeah. But what I'm going to do is my main character is a remote viewer that gets hired by some nefarious people that get him to work some targets that gets him in trouble, that are like some top secret thing that then they're using that for an extortion or using to it's a real convoluted plot, but we have a kind of a way to isolate our viewers and make sure people come at you like work my target, and you have to be very careful with that. We've been asked, we were offered big money to do a couple targets, and it was like the people that insulate us were going, God, you guys, we're trying to decide whether to give you this target. And Edward Reardon and I are like, go, let's do it. And they go, I don't think so. And then they told us who it was, and it was like, oh, good Lord. It was somebody was offering, like, really big money. And it was somebody that was, it was a real famous thing, and it was a real famous person. Like, they wanted us to work. But if we would have, it would have put us dead in the middle of something really controversial, so we didn't. But that would be good. I could write a book about if we would have gotten involved in that.
That's good. Somebody offered, what, we're talking, six figures?
$250,000.
That's six figures.
Yeah. Yeah, but we didn't do it. We didn't do it. So,
here's your beaver story.
Okay, tell me about the beaver.
I've read 10 beaver vanilla stories here. They're trying to downplay it now, and they didn't used to. But they're saying, yes, but the chances of you actually running into it and your food are small. You have to do your own research. It should say vanilla bean, though. Here. Then there is beaver butt. They call it. Beavers have two scent glands used for marking their territory, and yes, one of them smells and tastes just like vanilla. This beaver-produced vanilla-like secretion is called castoreum and is a mixture of different chemicals. Vanillin is not found in castoreum, but the elixir of chemical compounds somehow produces a vanilla-like smell and taste. Although FDA does not require castoreum vanilla flavoring to be labeled, see, you don't know. If it just says vanilla, then that's why I called that company. I can't believe they wouldn't say vanilla bean if it was vanilla bean. But anyhow, although the FDA does not require castoreum vanilla flavoring to be labeled as such, since it falls under the blanket term natural, very minimal amounts of castoreum are sold yearly, so it is unlikely that the natural vanilla flavoring you are eating includes castoreum. You might be disturbed by this news, but if you are so inclined, it is possible to buy both beaver perfume and dry castor, blah, blah, blah. It goes on. Anyhow, they did use it much more in the past, apparently. It's
but I would think
inclined.
Well, but what would be, it would be easier to grow vanilla than it would be to go take the gland out of a, where do you find a beaver? You go trap
I don't,
a beaver?
I don't think we should follow this anymore. All right, I don't know.
So anyway, I'm writing this book, and you have to have, yeah, each character has their own point of view and their own what they know about the story. So as the author, I'm omniscient. I know everything. But I have to reveal this to the reader through the characters. So you have to be really careful about what the character does and when they do
it.
So
you'd have six or eight story threads. Each character has its own thread.
You got to keep track of it. Mm-hmm. It's fun. My wife comes, "You writing a book?" And she leaves me alone. But I, you know, I'll start writing at 7 at night, and I look up, and it's 10:30. I'm like, "Ooh, okay."
Are you doing this now?
Not this moment. I'm talking to you on the radio.
Well, this is a work in progress.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the first chapter. So here's the problem, Jeff. Nobody reads anymore. Does anybody buy a book? Nobody.
You see,
very few people read.
If you'd be better off producing a 5 to 6 minute video. You get 100,000 views.
I might publish it serially on my website, which is futureforecastinggroup.com, and let the subscribers read it. And then what I was thinking of doing was making it interactive, because it will be there will be remote viewing targets worked, because it's a story about remote viewing. So it'll be like the process, and he's doing really interesting targets. And I would I might put the targets out for people to work. Like, today's target is B7LW3-47.
That would be kind of fun. Why not?
Yeah. So I'm
and just raw talent out there could maybe, you might find a nugget.
Well, here's the reason for doing that would be, can I create something in consciousness with enough gain in consciousness that a remote viewer would remote view it? It's not a real thing, but it's something that I made up. I did that once, and it was a lot of work. So if it was a fictitious story, if I made it real enough, would they get data about that? The viewers that worked it would probably be really mad that, like, you gave me a target that's something you made up in your book. They'd probably want to shoot me. But it's getting really hard to remote view right now, Jeff.
Why?
It's really getting hard. Because it's just, everything's, there's like, oh, in what war am I remote viewing? The destruction of this or the destruction of that? And what's going to happen next?
I don't understand how you can even function in the EMF environment that surrounds most people in Honolulu.
It's terrible.
It's got to be tough.
I'm working on getting out of it.
Well, we've been talking about this for how many years?
Too many. Yeah. I'm sitting near a Wi-Fi right now on a screen. So it's not good. Not good. Cryptos need to go up a little bit more.
Where are they now?
Bitcoin is 30. Let me call this up. I think it's 37.5. I'll look. It's 37.47.
All right. So this is all kind of private stuff, so I won't pursue it very much. But when you get to your threshold point, you're going to extract portion of it, so you can get free of some of the garbage and get a nice new home somewhere.
Here's what Bitcoin people that are into cryptos, here's what keeps them awake at night. Okay, so you work your life and you get your 401k and you learn about cryptos. You go, okay, I'm going to short the regular system. And I'll tell you why you should do that in a few minutes. I just did a YouTube segment. So you put your money into cryptocurrencies in 2018, and it does well. Like, by 2021, you're like, wow, I'm really done well. And then it comes back down, but you're still up. Like, even today, I'm still up, but not enough to do what I want to do. Here's what keeps the crypto people like, okay, so I put money in cryptos, and everybody's realized that Bitcoin and cryptos go way up, but they don't just keep going up, 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 up. They have these wild parabolic rises, and then they drop. And so you've got to time it at the top. So you're afraid of, all right, they parabolically rise, and I'm worth all this money, and I'm going to take most of it out to do something with it. And you're hoping that it falls back down, that you can buy back in with some of it. But you're afraid of, what if it goes up parabolic and I take it out? And then the financial system collapses and Bitcoin goes to $1 million. So it goes up to 100,000 and I took out and I'm okay. But if I would have held it, it would have gone to $1 million. So And then you think, here's the worst one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll take out $2 million, right? Boom, sell it, wire it to my bank. So I got $2 million in the bank. Mimi, let's go buy a house. Okay. And just as you do that, because of the rise, it was signaling the collapse of the fiat system. And all of a sudden, like, you wake up and like, oh, the stock market, oh, the bond, oh, the banks have closed, the dollar is in, and it's collapsed. And you've worked all that time and kept your cryptos, took it out, put it in the bank, and the day you do it, the banks close.
God.
So, well,
night, some way. Keep you awake, night.
Yeah, nightmares. I guess. Well, I'll tell you what the nightmare is just watching the system as it is now. There, I was talking to a financial guy that's part of our group. He works for Kitco.
Yeah.
Analyzes.
Oh, who was wait. Who was the guy that founded Kitco? I used to have him on the program all the time. Bill something. I don't think he's still in charge of it. I don't know. But he was really interesting. He was considered the number one guy in gold, Kitco. And
Jeff, I have an account at Kitco that I've had for years that I probably got because of your program, hearing him. He was one of the many, many years ago when I saw the light about fiat money and precious metals. As I started doing stuff with Kitco, I still have an account there.
Right. Good man. I can't remember his name. Hold on a sec. We have to take a break. We'll come right back with Richard as we continue in just a few minutes. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. I'm looking and looking, and I cannot find the name of that gentleman, and I swear it was Kitco. I may be wrong, but I've looked at Kitco websites and former presidents, and I may have the wrong company, but I had him on a lot. He was, I think his name was Bill something, and he was really a maestro in the gold world. And I remember asking him once, tell me the truth. Gold, if left to its own devices, would probably be $5,000 to $10,000 an ounce. He said, yep. I said, it's all controlled. He said, yep. So they keep it, it's like a PPT. They keep it within reasonable ranges. It's not going to fluctuate much. It's guided, it's directed. And anyway,
I was just thinking of Andy Goss.
Man, no, it wasn't Andy, of course.
Andy was more recent.
Shoes never fill those shoes. No. Can't. No.
He sent me books, and I used to listen to him on your program. I got so much good information from him, and I bought some nice coins from him.
He was one of the most extraordinary gentlemen I've ever known. He was absolutely first class all the way.
His company is still going without him?
No, I think it's gone. Partner took it over, and I think he sold it off, or it just didn't do as well. Andy was
speaking of Andy Goss, he would be someone that would ask this question, and this was the story I was going to tell. I was talking to this guy from Kitco, who does segments for Kitco. So he interviews a lot of pundits and so-called financial experts and analysts. And he was telling me privately yesterday, he goes, I try to ask these guys, and then none of them will talk about this. It's like, tell the truth. Show me any way that you could possibly salvage the American system, the American financial system. Show me what would you do? What would the steps be taken? No financial analyst will talk about this. No politician will talk about this. No pundit will talk about it. No journalist, no financial expert. It's like, tell me the way what's the way out of this? because there is no way out of it.
No.
You can't raise taxes on the rich. You could tax the rich till the end of time, you know, everything they, you know, tax them to death, and that's not even going to dent the deficit. Okay, you cut spending. Well, they're not going to cut defense spending. They're not going to. They can't cut Social Security and Medicare and, you know, that the right. entitlements.
Right. Exactly.
So, well, America's got the can-do attitude. We'll invent something and we'll produce. We'll increase production. There was a guy I heard that was talking about a study that was done 10 years ago mm-hmm. where they were computing what would be needed to make up the deficit from 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, the deficit was comparatively small. And they determined that 10 years ago, it would require a 7.5% yearly increase in GDP just to pay off the deficit. Years ago, and there's that, no way.
Is that the interest, or is that P&I?
Yeah, that's like the interest, I think. Yeah,
the interest a year that we pay now on the money we owe to the international Zionist banking conglomerate is over $1 trillion a year. That's interest only.
It's
we're
fast
not paying down the $33 yeah. trillion debt.
That'll never be paid. So it's. And I've heard the GDP numbers are false. If you take out the stimulus and the deficit spending, the real GDP today is about negative 8%, according to one expert I heard.
Negative
so
8.
it's coming down, folks. It's
people don't know. Dick, they can't see it. They look at their cell phone screen or their big flat screen. And that is their reality. That does, in fact, create in their mind much of their reality. And they see it, and it's constant, so things just are disconnected at that point. They cannot face reality.
No one will talk about it. And, you know, the big inflationary blunders that Biden has committed, they haven't hit yet because when you dump $1 trillion into the economy of fake money, it takes a year for it to show up as inflation at the dinner table.
Well,
so it's really dire. This thing is going down. I think 24 is going to be the year, Jeff. I really do.
I concur. I do. I've kind of been watching over your shoulder for years, and I see no other outcome. It's going down. And yes, you've known about this for a long time, and it's happening.
The question is, will they start a war and blame it on the war? Looks like they're trying to do that.
All I know is Israel is completely and insanely out of control on the world stage. It'll do whatever it wants. These people are answerable to nobody. They are above all laws. I don't care what laws you're somebody's talking about. Iran's going to file an international criminal court action against them for war crimes.
Oh, that'll show them. Yeah,
Who's going to do? Who's going to do anything to them? What are they going to be made to do? Pay a fine? Is that what they're going to do? Well, where are they going to get the money to pay the fine? Us? It's where they get all their money. So it's a joke. It's all a joke on us.
There are some interesting demonstrations around the world against that.
Yes. Yes, there are.
I think that's not really a challenge to the status quo. I see it more as a way to divide people yet further. So now you have Democrats fighting Democrats.
There's the side of the Democratic Party
that will support Israel no matter what. And there are some of the younger people that say, hey, they're massacring the Palestinians. And so they're at each other's throats. And it's within the Republican Party, too. There's the Fox News wing of the Republican Party just try to watch Fox News for 1 hour any day in the last couple of weeks and just hear the...
Not for me.
Oh, God, it's just... But then there are the... Yeah, it's just we're being divided and subdivided and divided again and we're being put at each other's throats. It's really...
The trick is to try to self-isolate as much as your lifestyle will allow. Just stay out of it. Stay away. I'm not just talking about shedding here. I'm talking about intellectual shedding. People just have no idea what's going on. They never will. They're not supposed to. That's why when they look at that screen, that literally is in their mind building their bedrock of reality. And it's lies.
Yeah.
It's lies. If you want to see something interesting, look at the top of headlines, everyone. I just put this up a little while ago. Scott Ritter is he's an excellent commentator on this world at war. He does very well. He lost it in this video. He unloaded on the Zionists, and I was quite shocked. It's a top story. I put it up there. It's well worth your time, and it's a rather long title. I wrote a long title for it.
Yeah, I saw that earlier today. I didn't watch it. Well, he better watch out. He'll get. They're trying to cancel Musk.
Those are all quotes. Here's a title for those of you who haven't seen it. Scott Ritter goes nuclear on Zionism. Quote, "It's time for Israel to be terminated as a political Zionist state." End quote. Quote, "It needs to be finished. It needs to be killed." End quote. How the Arabs could have squeezed Israel dead. That's another quote. With an oil embargo, but, quote, "They chose money over Palestinian blood, the Arab states," end quote. And the last one I wrote down here, he's urging all the Arab nations, including Sisi in Egypt and Erdogan in Turkey, to march their troops and military to Jerusalem and make it your own again. Talking to the Arabs. Make it your own again. Reverse 1967. So these are people have been killed for less than those statements.
Oh yeah, he's an enemy now.
Wait till you see it. He really goes off.
I'll watch it when we're done. Yeah. Wow. Brave but foolish.
He something really put him over the edge. I don't know what. Here,
it might have been watching children being bombed in hospitals.
How could it not? I mean, if anything's going to do it, they've killed over 5,000 children now. And as you know, I think you know for sure, that the Israeli media is now reporting that the Israeli Air Force Apache helicopter pilots were unloading on anything that was walking at that musical event, an event which they're admitting now in Haaretz newspaper, that the Palestinians, well, Hamas, didn't even know was happening. They came in there on their hang gliders and started shooting at people. They didn't know there was a big musical event. So the Israelis sent their Apache helicopters aloft, and they've got transcripts. We don't know who's who down there. What are we supposed to do? And they were basically told, use your own discretion. So they started blasting everybody, cars, people walking. And I think of the approximately 1,200 Israeli dead out there, half of them were probably killed by other Israelis. We have reports from the kibbutz saying that Israeli tanks were in here, leveling houses, killing everybody in them, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a whole thing was a setup. We know that. But it's just getting worse. Anyhow, Ritter just went way over the top for him. I've never seen him. He's very careful about how he speaks most of the time.
What platform was this on? Let me click on it.
BitChute.
Oh, okay.
I'll play a little just for our listeners, just a little bit. You'll get an idea. And I think somehow he's either really ramped up or his audio, but the guy asking him questions sounds normal, but Ritter sounds really wound up, like he's furious. And take a listen.
I hope and pray that someday there's a Nuremberg tribunal for these Israeli officers, and I want to see the look in their eyes as they're led up to the gallows, wondering in their mind what's going on as the neck, as they feel the noose around their neck, knowing they only have seconds to live before the executioner pushes a button, bang, their neck is snapped, because that's all they deserve. They don't deserve our adulation. They don't deserve our admiration. They don't deserve our sympathy. They deserve our mass condemnation for the criminals that they are. It's disgusting what's happening right now in Palestine, and this has nothing to do with Hamas. It has everything to do with Israel's national decision-making cycle, which mainstreams collective punishment, which singles out every single civilian in Gaza as an extension of Hamas, and that is a crime, a crime, a crime. And if you're a pro-Israeli person in the streets demonstrating for them, shame on you. Because this isn't about protesting against anti-Semitism. If it was about protesting against anti-Semitism, I'd be marching alongside, because there's no room for anti-Semitism, especially now. This is not a Jewish problem. The Jews are not to blame. Stop pointing fingers at the Jews. This is about Zionism, political Zionism. This is about people who have taken political Zionism and they've turned it into this expression of a greater Israel, Eretz Israel. Show me anywhere, anywhere in international law where the global community has greenlighted greater Israel. Nobody has. It's only in the sick fantasy of the Israeli leaders who govern Israel today. And if you're an Israeli fighting for Israel, you're not fighting for the defense of Israel as defined by the United Nations, as defined by 1948 or even 1967. You are fighting for a greater Israel, which means that you are saying we encourage a war of aggression against all of our neighbors, not just the Palestinians. This is a criminal regime. This is a sick regime. And it has to go. That doesn't mean that Israel has to go. But Eretz Israel is finished. It needs to be finished. It needs to be killed. And the whole world needs to rally around this cause. I'm ashamed of the Arab world right now. I'm ashamed of the Muslim world. They had an opportunity. They had that joint extraordinary meeting in Riyadh last Saturday where they had a chance to squeeze Israel dead with an oil embargo. And they chose not to, which means that they have chosen money and profit over Palestinian blood.
Now, that's just a little taste of it.
I'll explain why he sounded like that. And I know for sure.
The other guy on the screen didn't. That's the part that bothers me.
They changed it in post, and I have a business where I do YouTube videos, and then we publish out videos, and I don't have time, so we hired some young people to do Instagram, Twitter. I think I might even be on TikTok. I don't know. They take my videos and they cut them down, and we got a really, really bright young video editor that has really increased the number of eyeballs on my videos. And one of the things he said was that if you talk faster, if you speed up the audio, it gets more audience engagement. So this guy actually takes me and I see my own video and I'm talking really fast like that. I've got that cadence where it's sped up. So that was
I understand what you're saying. This is a split screen. On the left is the interviewer. On the right is Scott Ritter. The interviewer is speaking a normal cadence, so they had to just work on Ritter and ramped him up. They had to have, just on that half of the audio.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do. I think.
Well,
that
you take a look.
Like
I know it's all doable. There's nothing they can't do. But at any rate, he was
that is
clearly
not. I've seen
animated.
Ritter a lot. That's not his normal cadence.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. But
it'll be interesting to see what he's. I mean, I'm afraid to even be on your program with you playing that. That's dangerous stuff right there.
Well, it's it's all over the place. I'm not worried about it. So
okay.
Scott said it, and he's just disgusted thoroughly.
He really is.
Now, I've looked for your – Dick did a really interesting – and we're running out of time here – and I can't find it. Somebody sent it to me, and it was, I think it's a private recording, right?
No, it's on YouTube. I can send it to you. I can tell it to you right now, but let me get it on YouTube, and I'll send it over right now. I'm calling up YouTube. Hang on.
Right.
I'm calling up my channel, which my channel is Crypto Viewing. That's a free channel on YouTube. It's two words, Crypto Viewing. And this one is called Thoughts on Consciousness, Warning Woo-Woo Alert. Wait, that was 9 months ago. That wasn't it. I'm sorry. Oh, man, these guys are editing. God, explain God and remote viewing in 5 minutes. That's it.
That's right.
God, I've got kids editing my stuff, and they repackage it. And it's a good thing they put it up. Okay, I'm going to send this to Jeff Rentz, citing. So I was listening to this interview with Louder with Crowder.
Yeah.
Who I don't totally agree with. He was doing a thing on Palestine and Israel that I was like, whoa. Yeah. Anyway, he was interviewing Patrick Bet David, who's an Iranian businessman who is very successful. And he was telling the story of why he believes in God, because God and it's probably too long to play, but he was saying, I was having a very difficult time in my life. I had just broken up with someone and I was very despondent, and I hadn't spoken to my mother in like 5 years, and I said, God, if you exist, I want to talk to my mother. I need to talk to my mother. Right. I'm estranged from her. If you exist, God. So he prayed to God, and the mother called him 2 minutes later. So,
yeah, I know. I got it. You made a very good effort at explaining how that can happen.
Okay, I'll explain.
Perfect.
There
I've
is,
got it here.
There, well, go to the part just after he... fast forward to where he stops talking, and then I'll explain how I think. I just did this extemporaneously at a, you know, I just turned the thing on and started talking. I didn't plan it out.
It came across perfectly. All right. So when he stops talking, first clip is about 3:23, 3:16. He stops talking, but they go back to him. No, they don't. I'm sorry. It's 3:16.
No.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
So it's him saying that his mother talked to him because he prayed to God, and God, okay, display it, I'll explain it.
All right,
I haven't heard it. I cut. Yeah.
It's very well done. All right, here.
Somehow God heard his cry for help and responded by causing his mother to call him. It didn't happen exactly that way. Now, I'm not discounting the existence of God. There has to be a God. There must be a God that created this. All this didn't just spontaneously explode into existence. Human beings didn't start out as non-sentient, one-celled beings in the primordial muck, and then by spontaneous mutation become all the life forms that we have on planet Earth. There had to be intelligent design. So Patrick Bet David believes that God is some being up here, the all-knowing being that heard his cry for help and somehow caused Patrick Bet David's mother, gave her the impulse to call him. And that reinforces his belief in God. Kind of right. It's kind of right, but not exactly right. By my experience and my, I don't want to say belief system, my knowledge system. What we are is, we're a high-tech invention. The high-tech invention involves DNA. DNA is a high-tech device. Okay, let me go back to God. As I said, there has to be a God. This didn't just all pop into existence. So I don't see God as a person up in the sky. God is that which created all this, and we probably will never be able to quantify and understand. So, all right, we have the greater God. And God, part of God, is a universal intelligence. We have a field of consciousness. It's a field of consciousness where all information exists in a greater field of electromagnetic waveform energy. So all knowledge, all of existence, everything exists in this greater field within God of electromagnetic waveform energy. We were created by some beings greater than us, but lesser than God, lesser than the God, using this DNA assembly device. So DNA is high tech that takes matter and assembles it into this earth suit. Okay, so we're in a physical earth suit. And our soul energy is part of this greater field of consciousness, part of the greater God energy. And the soul is mated with the earth suit.
And in order for us to have this experience in the Earth suit, in this physical plane, the brain in the Earth suit acts as a kind of a filtering device. So it filters out all the greater consciousness from the greater God field so that we can see what is near us. We have parabolic antennas so we can hear, we can smell, we can touch, and it's a limited field of consciousness, limited to this general specific area, that allows us to function in the Earth suits, allows our soul to function in this Earth suit. So Patrick Bet-David was having a hard time, and his mother picked that up in the greater field of consciousness because Patrick Bet-David and his mother were replicated from the same DNA. So they have a connection between their DNA. They are more connected in this field of consciousness because of the commonality of their Earth suit DNA.
Okay, we have to pause there. I'll put this up under Dick Allgaier's name.
There still can be a God, and it's part of that. We all have a subconscious awareness that's trying to talk to us. If you learn to listen to it, you can have moments like that, and you'll have incredible moments. So that's the kind of thing we talk about.
Yeah.
On our site, futureforecastinggroup.com.
Futureforecastinggroup.com. You can see the banner for it right above headlines. And it's well worth your time. That's the 5 minutes of very, very accessible insight to a very big question. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, Jeff. And I hope all of our listeners have a great Thanksgiving. Don't fight with your family over the Christmas table. Like Jeff said, insulate yourself. Love one another. Appreciate this experience.
If you have to. Get a big screen and zoom it with your other part of your family. Just get together somehow.
Yeah. 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 24 is going to be an interesting year, Jeff. I wonder what we'll be talking about a year from now. Wow.
Well, I hope we're still talking.
I hope we are, too.
That's no joke.
We are, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Yep.
Excellent, as always.
Thank you,
Say
Jeff.
Hi to Mimi.
Yeah, always good to talk with you. Yeah. Aloha. Bye-bye.
You, too. All right, we have to run. We're off and running.